In the 19th Psalm, in the first verse, the following words are recorded. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. That word firmament even carries the idea of the expanse of the heavens. Not only the structures themselves, but the way that it is all laid out. Declare who God is. And that's such an important thing to recognize. We hope that if you are visiting with us today, as well as all of us who are normally here, we sincerely hope that as we leave this building today, we have a little more appreciation for who our God is. Because everything that we seek to do, everything that we seek to be, will only be driven in the right direction if we first truly recognize who He is, what He has done in our lives. And so we're going to be talking about a lesson that we have entitled, How Big Is Your God? Is your God too small? Do we have the wrong view sometimes of God that doesn't allow us to get the full picture of who He is? And I'm going to do that not with a way that is completely original with me. There's a gentleman by the name of Louis Giglio that has done some video presentations, and in one of those video presentations, he used an example that for me anyway, helped, an illustration that helped. And so I'm going to borrow the illustration from him. I don't really have any idea at all what his overall belief system is, but I know that he did a great job of illustrating the point that we're going to be talking about this morning. And so I'm going to use the illustration that he used just to hopefully help you get a little bit better understanding of the largeness of God. And I have to tell you, once I started preparing this lesson, we knew we were doing this lesson this particular week. Once I started preparing it, I started wanting to dig more and more, and wanted to think in terms of, and probably will, where do we take this from here? This lesson hopefully will give us an impression of something, but what do we do with that? How do we really grasp the largeness of God, and how should that affect us? And we've already talked about some things in our lives that we're going to be looking at, if the Lord permits us to, in weeks to come, that ought to be different. Different than those around us. And ought to be different because we've given ourselves over to God. Has that truly happened? I want us to just look at a few things to help us understand the nature of this based on what was described there in Psalm 19, where the heavens declare the glory of God. That's a picture of Earth's moon. I don't know if you're fascinated with those kind of things, but I always am when they show those telescopic views where you can kind of zoom in and see that. The moon is 2,189 miles in diameter. That's large, I understand that, but that's certainly not as large as some of the things that we're going to look at. The Earth is 7,129 miles in diameter, depending actually on whether you go from pole to pole or equator to equator. The Earth is not truly spherical in the absolute sense. It is slightly elliptical, so it is a little bit longer if you measure from pole to pole versus across the equator. But still, about a little over 7,000 miles in diameter. So here's what I want to do. This is the illustration that he used, and I want to use this for a reference point for this morning's lesson. Most of us are familiar with a golf ball. The regulations say that it can be no larger than 1.68 inches. I doubt that matters to anybody, but that's the size of a golf ball. We're going to let, in this demonstration or in this lesson this morning, we're going to let the golf ball represent planet Earth to help you get a better perspective on the size of the things that we're talking about in the creation of God. And I want to thank Matthew, because this morning he presented this golf ball to me, and maybe that'll give you a better understanding of this is Earth. He's painted the Earth on this golf ball, and so I appreciate that. So we'll just say this golf ball represents planet Earth. And I want you to imagine that that means that you've got to find yourself somewhere on here. So you're trying to get a perspective how small you're going to have to be in order to all of us to fit on here, because there are about 6.5 billion of us on this Earth, and on only one-third the size of the globe, because that's all that the land covers. So imagine the scale we're talking about. This represents 7,129 miles in diameter, the Earth. And we're going to use that to help us understand some other things. As we start looking at other planets around us, several of them are not as large quite as the Earth. We know that Mercury is considerably smaller. Pluto's even smaller than that. Mars, but you can see these with the naked eye because they're close enough to us. Mars, a little smaller than Earth as well. Venus is the sister planet. Venus is about the same size as Earth. They are very close in dimensions to one another. But then things start changing pretty rapidly after that. So if you're holding up a golf ball, then it'd have to be slightly smaller than that to be Mars or Mercury or Pluto. It'd be about the same size if you were Venus, but the scale starts changing pretty drastically as we start moving up the scale in the size of the planets and the other things. If you're looking at Uranus or you're looking at Neptune, now I want you to picture that we're talking about, here's the Earth, here's Neptune. That's the size difference that we're talking about between Earth and Neptune. So you can fit a number of Earths inside Neptune, which is just a planet, is not extremely large, although it appears greatly large compared to the Earth. 27,000 miles in diameter. And so you've got planets that continue to get larger. As you look at Saturn, you're no longer in that small little blue ball. Saturn is large enough that it would be represented if you were to take this golf ball and you were to hold beside it one of those large beach balls that's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 18 inches in diameter. And so if you could hold the golf ball beside that large beach ball, then it would tell you if you were on Saturn, that's the difference in the size that we're talking about in God's creation. As you continue to go up and you look at Jupiter, Jupiter is going to be larger than Saturn. And now imagine if you would a truck tire. And so if you were to hold this golf ball beside a truck tire, you get an idea of the scale of just what our solar system is starting to become. Just our solar system, which is just a small portion in the firmament or in the expanse that God talks about. God is larger even in creation than we can possibly even think. So what happens when we step outside the planets? What happens when we look at the sun? You look at this scale, you can see Earth now on here compared to the sun. And so I'd like you to picture, this is the Earth, and you have found yourself, you've located yourself on this Earth. I want you to picture a circle that fills this entire wall back here. Because on this scale of the golf ball, it would be a 15-foot diameter circle to represent the sun. So now just imagine that we're holding this golf ball up. This is Earth compared to the entire wall here representing the sun. And the sun is one of the smaller stars that's in this universe that God has created. How large is God? God is the creator of each of these things that we are talking about. This is the star Sirius, and that gives you an idea. That's not an ad for the satellite radio program or programming or anything. That's the name of the star. Not the largest star by any means, but it's the brightest star that has been discovered by astronomers to date. But you get an idea now, even as to what the size of Sirius is versus the size of our sun. And we're not even approaching yet the size of the larger stars. This is the star that is in the Pollux, the star that is in the constellation Gemini. It is 10 times the diameter of our sun. 10 times the diameter of our sun. It's in the constellation Gemini. It is still within that which is visible to us. It is 34 light years from Earth. I want you to just pause for just a second and think about that. Because now that we're in God's realm and not in our realm, you can't measure the way we measure any longer. There's no rulers. There's no tape measures. There's no means of determining. God's kingdom, God in the sense of His physical kingdom that is out there, His creation, His universe, the expanse, has to be measured in something other than what we normally would measure with. It's measured in light years. What does that mean? Well, light travels 186,000 miles per second. And a light year is how far light travels in a year. That's how that's going to be described. Now, I just want you to think about this for a minute, because as we think about to when this all started, remember how it started? Jared mentioned a minute ago in Genesis chapter 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We'll talk about that in just a second. I'll do the calculation for you so you don't have to try and work that in your head. There's a light year, 5.88 trillion miles. 5.88 trillion miles. Can you even begin to wrap your head around a number like that? Do we have any concept of what that represents? Let's just try to put that in the frame of some things we might understand. Let's start with a million. I would say most of us at least can get a grip of a million. If we think in terms of $1 million or million something, we at least can kind of wrap our mind around a million. If I were to ask you, how long ago was a million seconds ago? Would you know? A million seconds ago. A million seconds ago is only 13 days. So you think, well, that's not a tremendous amount. And so I say, well, what about a billion seconds? So you think, well, a billion seconds, if that was a matter of days, then we're probably looking back around January or something, aren't we? Or maybe we're looking at last year. A billion seconds ago was 1980. A billion seconds ago. A trillion. Now keep in mind, this one light year is 5.88 trillion, and this star is 34 light years away, but 1 trillion seconds ago. 1 trillion seconds ago. You think, wow, that's got to put us back in the Middle Ages somewhere, doesn't it? We're not even close yet. 1 trillion seconds ago is 29,677 years before Jesus walked this earth. It's before time was reckoned the way we reckon time. 1 trillion seconds. The vastness is just difficult to even begin to comprehend. And unless your government, possibly. $1 billion ago was only late yesterday afternoon in our government. Think of that, 1 trillion seconds, 29,000 years before Jesus walked the face of this earth. That is just difficult to imagine. And this particular star, they've determined it is 34 light years away from us, and that puts it still within our solar system, within our galaxy. It is still within Gemini, the constellations, that we can see this star with the naked eye. We haven't hardly started yet. Think about this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters, and then God said, I got to tell you, we miss the impact sometimes of these verses. God said, let there be light. At 186,000 miles per second, God speaks into existence the light that we see. Do we understand? Do we have any idea about the power? And we're not talking about just our sun. It was light in every form. All of these stars that are out there. All of the stars you can see with the naked eye. All of the stars that are out there beyond what we can see with the naked eye. God said, let there be light, and there was light. We serve an awesome God. And we're only getting started. Arcturus. 25 times the diameter of the sun. Just think about that. 25 times the diameter of the sun. What kind of scale? You're on the golf ball again. Where's that put you? You know, if you're back on Pollux, the one we were just looking at, I want you to imagine, if you would, that you take a circle that is as large as half of an entire football field, 50 yards in diameter, and you drop this golf ball in the center of that 50-yard circle. That's Pollux. Goal line to 50-yard line. This star, Arcturus, is 25 times larger. I want you to picture now you can't fit the circle on the football field either widthwise or lengthwise. It's longer than the entire football field, including both end zones. It's comparable to the tallest redwood that has ever been discovered, a little over 370 feet tall. So I want you to picture, you're taking the golf ball and you're laying the golf ball down at the foot. Have you ever been out and seen the redwoods? You ever tried to look up at the top at one? I had to lay down on the ground so I could make an attempt to look at the top because I can't bend back far enough to look at one. I'd have to get miles away, I think, to be able to see the whole tree. So just imagine you're getting back far enough that you can see the golf ball and the entire height of the redwood tree, and that's Vistar Arcturus, 375 feet on that scale. And there we are. We're somewhere still on that golf ball, and we're looking at just one of the stars that God has created that is that large. Incredible to think about. Oh, but it gets better. There's a star called Betelgeuse, excuse me. Kind of like the movie. It's either Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. Like many, I prefer Betelgeuse. I like that name better. Betelgeuse. So just think about this star. Think about the size of this star, because this star, you could fit 262 trillion Earths. 262 trillion Earths inside of this one star. It is that large. It is twice as large. Well, not twice as large as our sun. This star is twice as large as the entire orbit of the Earth around the sun. I just want you to think about the picture you're getting in your mind. That the entire orbit that the Earth makes around the sun, we're how far from the sun? 93 million miles. We're from the sun. You getting a picture of how big this star is? The entire orbit, twice the entire orbit of the Earth around the sun, represents this one star, Betelgeuse. 262 trillion Earths inside of this star. How many golf balls is that? That would fill, from floor to ceiling, that would fill the Superdome in New Orleans 3,000 times. Is our God awesome? He is an awesome God. So where do you stack this one now? If you want to get a perspective on that, then what do you do? Well, you take this, and I appreciated when Lou Giglio said, here's what I'd suggest you do. He said, take your family, fly them to New York. He says, I want you to set the golf ball down at the base of the Empire State Building. He said, don't worry, if you're in New York, nobody will even think that's strange. So you can set it down at the base of the Empire State Building. He says, and then walk back so you can get a perspective, and you can see the golf ball, and you can see the Empire State Building. He says, and then I want you to picture this. You've got to stack five more Empire State Buildings on top of each other to get the perspective of the size of the Earth to this one star. How big is our God? Is it any wonder that the heavens can't contain Him? That there's nothing in our mind? We take God and we put Him sometimes in these boxes, and you can't fit God there. That's not the God that He is. And if we recognize the God that He truly is, it affects every area of our life. I told you we're still not done. There's another star I don't even have projected on here, a star called Mucetti. Larger than Betelgeuse. Large enough that if you were going to put that in perspective, you'd have to take your golf ball and you put it down on the ground at the edge of the Golden Gate Bridge. You ever seen the Golden Gate Bridge? Pretty impressive bridge. Not the biggest bridge in the world, but it's a pretty big bridge. I walked across that. You've got pedestrian areas. Walked across that Golden Gate Bridge. It took in the neighborhood of about 30 minutes just to walk across the bridge. So I want you to picture you've laid this down at the edge of the bridge. You get back far enough that you can see the golf ball and you can see the entire span of the Golden Gate Bridge out there, but then you've got to lay another one on the other end of it. That's your scale. This golf ball to the Golden Gate Bridge 2 times. That's the scale that we're in, and we're just not even close. Here's the largest star ever discovered. Canis Majoris. They knew how to name it, didn't they? That's the big dog right there. Canis Majoris. Well, you can see Betelgeuse now. Now keep in mind, where's the earth on these pictures? I don't know if you noticed, but in those projections, the earth disappeared quite a bit ago. Let me just go back on a couple of those. Earth is invisible at this scale. Once we put Arcturus on the scale, Earth is invisible. You can't even see it any longer at this scale. But Jupiter, 2 pixels. 2 pixels. A photograph, which helps us understand pixels. Photographs, if you get a photograph done professionally, if you print one off on your home printer, it'll probably print somewhere in the neighborhood of about 250 pixels per inch. But a regular photographer would print them at about 300 pixels per inch on a normal photograph. So I want you to imagine that we're talking about a spot small enough that you can get 300 of them per inch. Jupiter is 2 of those spots. You can't find a Sharpie or a marker or a pen where you can come up and put it on this screen. You can't make a dot as small as what that dot would have to be. But all we do is bump up to the next one, and the sun is no longer visible. Look at Sirius. I know it's difficult to see Pollux there, but Pollux is about, on that scale, is about the size of my thumbnail, it looks like. The vastness that God said, let it happen. Let there be light. That He created by speaking into existence this world that we're talking about. And we're here on this little sphere. 1 of 6.5 billion people on this little sphere. How insignificant are we in that sense, by way of size? How difficult is it for us to imagine that far outside of ourselves so that we can understand who this God is that we are serving? But back to Canis Majoris. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths in Canis Majoris. 7 quadrillion. I don't even know how to tell you to wrap your mind around that number at all. I can give you a scale picture again. Take your family, and if you went from New York to San Francisco for the Golden Gate Bridge, you're going to have to fly them over to Kathmandu now. And set that golf ball down at the base of Mount Everest, which rises some 6 miles into the sky. I just want you to think about Mount Everest. And you're thinking in terms of all these miles above sea level that this is. And if you put this golf ball down beside Mount Everest, there it is. That's the scale. Earth to Canis Majoris is like dropping this golf ball at the base of Mount Everest. 7 quadrillion. Here's how many golf balls that would be. That would cover the entire state of Texas, 22 inches deep. Now, just get a vision in your mind of that. I can't even imagine enough golf balls that would cover my yard or my subdivision or Kansas City almost 2 feet deep. How many golf balls is that? We're talking about covering the entire state of Texas, 22 inches deep. That's the size of this universe. And that's still, it's the largest star that's been discovered by man, but it's still only one star in this entire universe that He's created. There's our sun. That's what you've got to do to the scale to get our sun to show up with Canis Majoris. I mean, is that incredible? Wow. I think of that and I think, what kind of God is it that we serve, and how have I sometimes just missed that point and boxed Him in as if He wasn't this kind of largeness that He is? God wants us to understand some things. Well, think about this, just to go along with that. That's the Milky Way galaxy. The Hubble has taken a lot of these pictures, the Hubble telescope. Great photographs to be able to see what is out there in God's creation. The Milky Way galaxy. somewhere between 200 and 400 billion stars. And the reason they can't count them all exactly is because of all the cosmic dust and the other things that make it difficult to see all the way through at every point. But somewhere between 200 and 400 billion stars just in this one galaxy. It is 575 quadrillion kilometers, miles. It's 925 kilometers. 925 quadrillion kilometers or 575 quadrillion miles just across this single galaxy. The Hubble telescope alone has located over 10,000 separate galaxies. Wow. Is our God big? I mean, think about our God and what He's done. 300, this is the estimation, 300 sextillion stars in this universe. I don't even know how to tell you to think about that. Other than this is not a God that we can confine to the way that we think normally. He's different than that. Let me read you a quote. Richard Dawkins, you may be familiar with that name. Professor at Oxford University, maybe the most or at least one of the most famous atheists in the world, wrote a book called The God Delusion, in which he makes fun of any one of us that would believe in God. He says that is just as stupid as it can be to believe in God. Well, I understand. God's word says there will be men like that. And that they're fools that don't believe in God. But I want you to listen to what he said, because Time Magazine, after he wrote that book, which was quite successful, Time Magazine scheduled a sit-down with him and a man by the name of Francis Collins, who's a scientist who's also a Christian. They had kind of an informal debate, a little talk going on. And in that debate, these were the last words of Richard Dawkins at that debate. He said, "If there is a God, it's going to have to be a whole lot bigger and a whole lot more incomprehensible than anything any theologian of any religion has ever proposed." Amen. He's right. That's the problem. Sometimes the world doesn't see our God because the way we've confined God. What is He to us? How large is He? He has to be way bigger than what I normally think of as God. I have to try, even though I can't put Him into words. I can't describe Him. I can't define Him the way that I would define other things. But I need to understand something about the largeness of God. And what does that do when I think about that? Because here's what scares me. Our knowledge of certain things and sin and the pride that we get as far as thinking who we are, We get a little puffed up sometimes, and so the more puffed up I get, the smaller God gets. And I have to tell you, you see things like this, there can't be, on a physical scale, there can't be anything that's much more humbling than these kinds of things. To help me understand, because I think in terms of when I pray even, seriously, I pray sometimes trying to lead God, trying to explain to God, trying maybe even to correct God, whatever it may be. I think in terms of what it is I offer up to my God in my prayers, and I think, who are you kidding? Look at who He is. But we put Him in those little boxes. And we can't do that. A group of kindergarten type age children were asked to describe God. The most common description started something like this: "He's a nice older gentleman." And then it went on to a description. Whatever else they said about Him. But I would tell you, we do that sometimes. We get this picture almost, we're created in God's image. He's not in ours. We get this picture that we can somehow confine Him in that. But what He wants us to understand is that today, right here, right now, what we're doing is we are worshiping an unrivaled, uncontested, powerful, awesome God like none other ever has been or ever will be. Amen? Amen. He says, that's us. And he says, we're just one of 6.5 billion people on this little sphere that are trying to offer up that worship to God. You go from the magnificent in size to the minute, and look what he did even within the creation. You think of DNA. You realize one cell has 3 billion characters of DNA. Is that right? Yeah, 3 billion characters per cell in a DNA strand. So if you took those out and just stretched them end to end, and I know this is hard to imagine because the DNA is microscopic, but if you took them out, stretched them end to end, they'd be 6 feet long. That's how many characters are in the DNA, and you've got 75 trillion cells in your body. Now, in the time it took to say that, 50,000 of them died and were replaced by 50,000 new ones. That happens every 3 seconds in our bodies. God, from the expanse to the microscopic, is an incredible God. You realize if you took all the DNA in your body and stretched it, just end to end, laid that out end to end, it would go from here to the moon and back 178,000 times. God's created a whole universe inside of us. It's no wonder the psalmist said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our God is great. The psalmist said, let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. Amen. So here's the question. Why does that matter? Is there any problem too difficult for our God? Is there anything that God cannot do? Is there any limitation in what He desires to be done outside of us providing limitation on His end? Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. That's the God that we serve. So when He's asking us to change our lives, when He's asking us to do His work, what is it that can't be done? What in my life can't absolutely be totally changed? And what can I not do for my God? That's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's our job, brethren. Our job is to do everything we can to help the world understand who this God is. Because if you understand who He is, you can't help but be impressed by that and want to serve Him. Sometimes we want to change people's minds. I tell you, we should have a different goal. Let's change their vision along with our own. Let's see things differently if we want to do things differently. That's what Job said. After Job went through all he went through, when you get to the very end, the conclusion that Job draws is, he said, I had heard about Him. People had told me about this God. Read things about Him. He says, but now I have seen Him. He didn't mean seen Him face to face. He meant, now I understand what I was missing. That's what He wants us to do. Help people see God. How great is this God? How much does He care? And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of unfailing love with those who love Him and obey His commands. God says, I, creator of all that you see, my love is no less than my power. And that's the way He loves us. And He wants us to understand that. Is there no sin that He can wipe away? Is it possible you could have done something that God can't correct? By way of eliminating the sin and the guilt of that sin and the punishment that should go with that sin? You remember Moses saying, Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed His name, the Lord. And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. It's no wonder when Nehemiah prayed that Nehemiah said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant. It's no wonder he prayed that. The great and the awesome God who keeps His covenant. That's the God we serve. God says, I just want you to picture as much as you can. Get outside of yourself and imagine the vastness that allowed God to speak into existence at the speed of light an entire universe. And God says, that power is no greater than the love that I feel for you. How large is my God? My God cares too. About every single person on that globe. 6.5 billion people, and God loves every single one of them. Our God is truly an awesome God. If you're not a Christian, I hope all we really did was, and I don't know that we could do any more, than just open a door to make it possible, maybe to view God a little bit differently. To see Him a little bit differently. Because as He comes into my life and looms larger and larger and larger in my life, I am confident that my life draws closer and closer to what He wants me to be. The clearer my picture of God, the clearer my vision of life. If you want a clear vision of life, get a good picture of God. He's greater, bigger, more mighty than we make Him out to be. He can change lives. If you want Him to change yours, let us know that while we stand, while we sing.